Bible, if you would, with me to the book of Philippians and the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3. Last week, we began a consideration of our challenge for the new year. We understand that all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord are to be continually growing and progressing in our spiritual life year after year. We know that God is not a God of the status quo. And we realize that you and I are to be ever pressing on for the Lord. He expects each and every one of us to always be abounding in His work and in our growth for Him. If you and I are going to truly abound for the Lord and ascend to greater heights for Him, and as we stated last week, we're going to have to be willing to accept all changes that God lays upon us. No, the scripture teaches that God desires of each and every one of us that we be conformed to the image of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has predetermined that for us. Romans chapter 8 tells us that we have been predestinated. He has marked out before. His determination for us is that we be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In order for you and I to be conformed to the image of Christ, that's going to require change. And we have to be willing to accept whatever changes God lays upon us in our life and ministry that we might ever abound in the work of the Lord. We also determine that if we're going to abound to greater heights, we need to understand our destination. Where are we headed? Where does God want us to be as families? Where does God want us to be as a church? As we understand our destination, we're going to be able then to choose the right direction that's going to keep us on that right path, and that we not stray, and that we would truly accomplish that course that God has determined for us. Let me take a few moments and just remind you, if I could, of where I believe that God would have the church to be. We started last week and we talked about some of these things, and we said that we'd be more specific in relation to our ministry and not always just speaking to the church at large. I want to remind you what I believe the Lord would have us to be as a church. What is our destination? We said four things last week. One, God would have us be firmly grounded in the truth of His Word. God wants you and I to be, as a church, firmly grounded in His truth. That we would be directed, that we would understand the teaching of the Word of God, that we would never stray from that truth. Second, we said that God would have us continually secure the future for the next generation. It is a wonderful blessing to be able to look back and see all that God has done. And as we look back and we behold the praises of God, we do so with a purpose in mind. We do so that the generations to come might know Him, that the generations to come might love Him, and that they might be perpetuated in our faith, and in turn, that they would teach the generation to follow them. So we as a church and as a ministry ought to always be seeking to secure the future for the next generation. We can't always look back. We can't always be thankful for what we have done. We need to be reminded that the battles are not over. The contest is not yet complete. And there are victories for us still to win. Third, God would have us retain a strong resolve and strong resources. Finally, we understand that God would have us remain settled in our purposes. God gives to the church a purpose, and we ought to understand those purposes and remain settled in the purpose that God has given. Today, as we come to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 12 down through verse 16. And I want to discover together the principles that will help us reach our intended destination. Follow along as I read this passage of Scripture together, then we'll bow and seek the Lord's blessing upon our study. Paul would write and say, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study tonight. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together again around the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that as we come, we can learn principles that will help us attain the destination that you have called us to reach. We thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is practical. It meets us where we are. And Father, we can come and learn these things that we would be a people pleasing in your sight. That we would know your blessing and that others through us would be blessed. Father, we desire to be a church and a people that is always abounding, ascending to greater heights for you. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to accept change. There may be a change of thinking. There may need to be a change of attitude or change of direction. There may be a need for us to change things within our family, within our finances. Lord, I ask and pray that you would help us to accept every change that you lay upon us. For Lord, it's your desire that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. May our families be strong. May our church be strong. And may we be a lighthouse and a blessing to others. We ask and pray, Father, your help and understanding as we come and as we study your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in this familiar passage to the church of Philippi, shares with them five essential truths that they needed and that you and I need to keep before us if we're going to ascend to greater heights for the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins again in verse 12 and says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." As we begin to consider these principles that will help us stay the course and reach our destination to ascend to greater heights for the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to see first and foremost that there is a need for a dissatisfaction with our current spiritual attainments. The first essential truth that we need to help us continuing to ascend to greater heights is the need to be dissatisfied. And that's not one word that we often use within Christianity. We don't usually tell you, well, you need to be dissatisfied with the church. But the reality is, there is a need within your own life and within my own life that we not become satisfied with our current level of spiritual growth. We should never get to the place where we would be able to say, "I've arrived. I finally attained, and I'm happy where I am." Paul was dissatisfied with his current spiritual attainments. He clearly, in this passage, details for this church his overarching purposes in life. Now, Philippians chapter 3 is a wonderful chapter. It gives to us in many ways a personal testimony of the Apostle Paul. He makes it very clear and very plain what he wanted to accomplish in his life. He knew his destination. He knew the goal, the end of life. He understood his finish line. And what is it that Paul desired? Well, verse 10 tells us that he desired to know Christ. Verse 7 says it this way, that he would know the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. If there was one thing that Paul desired, it was a greater knowledge and a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never satisfied with how he knew the Lord today. He wanted to know more. He wanted to understand Christ better. He wanted to know more about the fellowship of His suffering. He wanted to know more about His perfections. And He wanted to know more about His power. He wanted his life to be conformed to the image of Christ. He wanted to know Him. And here's what Paul says of verse 12. I have not yet attained. I am not yet perfect. He understood his purpose, but he would acknowledge to the church at Philippi, I have not yet obtained the goal. I have not reached the finish line. I have not yet made it. He knew the destination, but he knew he hadn't reached the goal. There was a sanctified dissatisfaction with his current spiritual attainments. Let me ask you this evening, where do you see your life, your family's life at the end of 2011? What goals are you setting as a family? What goals have you set to obtain this year individually? What do you believe we ought to be even as a church at the end of this year? What is your burden? What are your goals? You know, you and I are engaged in a marathon of life. And we need to be willing to plot our course so that we might finish the race. What's the goal for the year ahead? Are you satisfied where you are today? You know, none of us should be satisfied where we are today. If we're going to ascend to greater heights for the Lord individually, if we're going to ascend to greater heights for the Lord as a church, there is a need for a dissatisfaction with our attainments. We need to understand there is more to do. Yes, our conquest is sure. Our victory is sure. But the contest is not over. There is more to do for Jesus Christ. He may come back again this year. We may be with Him. What a wonderful day it will be. But folks, the race does not end until we see Christ. And it should be a desire within our heart that we want to obtain more. Whoever we are in our spiritual development, be reminded we have not yet attained to where God would have us to be. God desires complete and full conformity to the image of Christ. Now, the reality is, all of us know what our weaknesses are spiritually. We know the areas in which we need improvement. By the way, you're not the only one who knows what areas need to be improved. Your spouse and family knows where you're weak in your own spiritual life and attainments. The reality is God knows where we need to be. We have our weaknesses, we have our character flaws, and we need to address them. And all of us have less understanding of spiritual truth than we ought to have. Now, there's more to be discovered this year in the study of God's Word. There's more growth that needs to take place of our knowledge of Him. We need to be dissatisfied with what we have obtained and not sit back and reflect upon all that we have done, but look forward to what God has in store for us in the days ahead. If you and I are going to progress forward for the Lord in the year ahead, there needs to be a remaining dissatisfied with our attainments and continue to press on for the Lord. Can I remind you that we as a congregation have not yet completed all that God determined for us in eternity past? There is still much for us to do. There are souls around us who need to be saved. There are invitations that needed to be handed out. There are lives that need to be impacted for eternity. There is growth that needs to be realized. There are sins that need to be conquered. There is much for us yet still to do. And if we're going to reach on for greater heights and ascend to greater heights for God, Paul will remind us that there's a need for dissatisfaction. Let us no longer look back and reflect upon our past, but may we instead, as Paul would challenge us, press on toward the mark. There's another trait, another truth that we need to be realizing as well. Verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have reprehended, but this one thing I do." The second trait that we need to consider, if we're going to ascend to greater heights for the Lord in 2011, is the trait of devotion. Paul would say, "This one thing I do." That marked for us his devotion. And it's a devotion that you and I all need to possess. Too often that which keeps us from reaching the goals that we have set is that we become distracted. We allow those distractions to affect us from accomplishing the goal that's been set before us. You know, the writer of Hebrews warned us that as we run the race for God, we need to be careful to lay aside every sin and every weight that does so easily beset us. There's a course that you and I are supposed to run. There's a course that you're supposed to be running and progressing in your own spiritual life. There's a direction that your family is supposed to be going. And there is growth that is supposed to be taking place in the lives of your children and your spouse. There's a direction that we're supposed to have as a church. There are steps that we're supposed to be taking. And folks, the reality is that which often keeps us from accomplishing what God wants us to do is we're not fully devoted to the cause and to the goal. We get distracted. We allow the weights to beset us. They're not sin and evil in and of themselves, yet they keep us from running well the race. Paul said it this way, "This one thing I do." He was devoted to his cause. He was devoted to his goal. I want to know Christ. I want to have the excellency of his knowledge. And I will focus everything and be devoted to that cause. This one thing I do. David would say the very same thing. Psalm 27:4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I can dwell in the house of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire of him in his temple." Paul said, "This one thing I do." You know what the blessing is? You and I can come to the New Testament, and we can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we can find that Paul reached his destination. He reached the goal. For he would give his final statements of the scripture this way to Timothy. "Timothy, here's how I wrap up my life and my ministry. Timothy, if I look back and if I can encourage you, I want to encourage you with this final thought. Timothy, I fought a good fight. Hear it. I finished my course. I kept the faith." Why? Because he was devoted. This one thing I do. You and I need, the Bible tells us, to be single-hearted in our devotion if we're going to ascend to greater heights for God. James will remind us in James 1 and verse 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What's God called you to this year? What goals does he lay upon your heart? What changes does he want you to make? What improvements does he want to see take place in your marriage? What improvements does he want to see in your children's life? What area of improvement does he want to see for you as you minister for the Lord Jesus Christ? What area of growth needs to take place so that you can better serve him? What has God laid before you as the goal this year? You know, you and I need to keep our priorities right. Be devoted that we might be able to reach those goals. Avoid the distractions that come. You know, we all need to have a little bit of Nehemiah in us. Nehemiah was given a task. He had a burden laid upon him by the Lord. The walls of Jerusalem need to be rebuilt. You know, his enemy sought to distract him. Nehemiah, I think you need to come down. We need to talk about this. We see you're doing this great work for God, but why don't you come down? Why don't we take a break? Why don't we take some time and talk, and let's really discover what's behind all that you're trying to accomplish. You know what Nehemiah's response was? Nehemiah would say to them, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? You know, all of us need to be willing to at times say to the distractions, you know what? I've got too much to do for God today. I really don't need those things in my life, and I need to set you aside. You're a weight, and I've got a race to run. There's another trait, however, found in verse 13. There's a dissatisfaction, and there's a need for devotion. And we also need to keep going in the right direction. Notice again what Paul would say. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Folks, the race is run in a forward progress. You cannot run looking back. We have to keep our eyes fixed on the present and the future. We've got to keep the goal in mind. So Paul will remind us there's a need to keep going in the right direction. Our destination is reached by the direction that we choose. And if we want to ascend to greater heights, then you and I must continue the upward ascent upon the mountain that is before us. And Paul determined that he would forget the past and forge on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, if we're going to ascend to greater heights individually, as families, as a church, then you and I need to be willing to keep going in the right direction. And we need to keep moving forward. I want to remind you this evening that one of the dangers that we face as we look back over our history and we see the great things that have been done, and again, that's in the past tense, that one of the dangers we face is that all the while as we're looking back, we fail to be used of God in the present, and we fail to plan for the future and for those who follow after us. You and I need to ever keep before us the wonderful things that God has done and show to the generations to come His praises, that we together might have the purpose of putting our trust in Him and perpetuating our faith and going on to greater heights for God. You need to share with them the good things that God has done. And if God has done it before, He can do it again. And we ought to be willing to say, let's put our hands to the plow one with another and let's do the work that God has called us to. Let's keep going in the right direction. Let's keep pursuing forward. Paul said, one thing I must do, I have to forget, and I must pursue the forge of forward for the Lord Jesus Christ because I want to know Him. I want the excellency of His knowledge. Paul said, I will forge on. As a church this year, we need to keep our eyes ever facing the future. We need to be looking ahead, not looking back. We ought to be asking, where does God want us to go, not where has God already taken us? Last year, you and I studied the history of the nation of Israel. Now, as you study the history of the nation of Israel, you'll find that God at times became displeased with the people because they would always look back as they were supposed to be heading towards the promised land. We sang today, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. I am bound for the promised land. You know what happened to the first generation of the Israelites when they came to Jordan's stormy banks and they looked over? They said, you know what, we've come this far, but I think we've come a little too far. Why don't we choose us a new leader? Moses is nuts. I mean, he expects us to go into a land filled with giants. There is no way we can conquer. I mean, those cities are walled and they are huge. So the 12 spies came back, and 10 of them said, listen, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb said, let's go take it. Let's conquer. God has promised. And the 10 said, wait a minute. Moses and those two guys are crazy. Let's go back to Egypt. We know what's there. Folks, from that, God would cause them then to wander and to perish. You and I don't need to be looking back. We need to be looking forward. They missed out on the blessing because they refused to go ahead. Christian, the blessing of God for His church, it's not found in the past. It's found as we press on for the Lord. And we, willing to walk by faith, are willing to follow Him. Let us leave behind those things as we seek to finish the course that is laid before us. We need to keep the right direction so that we would finish well. Verse 14 gives us another thought, though. Not only do you and I need a dissatisfaction with our own spiritual attainments, a devotion and a direction, but the Bible also would tell us there's a need for determination. That's the point of verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need a determination to reach those greater heights. The word press there is a word that means to have an intense endeavor. It refers to the hunter who continues to stalk his prey until he has killed it. It speaks of an athlete who competes so that he might win. It is someone that puts intense desire and effort that he might obtain the goal. We are to be pressing on. There is to be a sanctified determination that we might accomplish what God would have us do. We as a believer ought to be pressing on in order to ascend to those greater heights for God. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of Bob Jones University, used to say to the university students, it was reminded to us who used to attend, well, after he had passed away, he used to say this to the student body, the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop you. The test of a man's character is what does it take to stop you. There are goals that we need to reach. There's a race that we're supposed to run. Our family is supposed to be progressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families are to be strong. Our marriages to be built up in the truth of God's Word. Our children brought into submission and living under the authority of moms and dads and have an understanding of seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it going to take to stop us in accomplishing that which God has laid before us? Maybe this year you've determined that God wants you to accomplish a more in-depth Bible study. Maybe He wants you to have a more effective prayer life. Maybe He wants you to strive to have a healthier lifestyle. Maybe He wants you to improve your family time. Maybe God wants you to deal with the areas of debt and begin to live in financial freedom. Maybe He wants you and I to have a greater compassion for the lost. My question is this: what will stop you from accomplishing that goal? You and I have a purpose as a church. What's going to prevent us from accomplishing the goal? Failure? God wants me to read my Bible through in the year, and I have to read 4 chapters a day, and I missed on Sunday, so I might as well give up. We slip, we failed, so let's just quit. Here the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and he gets up every time. Just because you fail doesn't mean you got to stop. Just because you struggled, even though you wanted to have more family time and you didn't do it this week, it doesn't mean we quit. Just because we wanted to hand out more invitations and we didn't do it this week because life got too busy, doesn't mean we can't do it next week. What's going to stop you? Failure? Discouragement of others? You know, some people think that they're being helpful, when in essence they're not. You're struggling, they come alongside, and they put their arm around you, and they have those wonderful words of wisdom. And as soon as they're done, you're thinking in your mind, I wish they didn't come talk to me. Because now I really feel bad. I was doing okay until Sister So-and-so came along. Man, I'm awful. I just can't do this for God. Discouragement of others, is that going to stop you this year? You know, sometimes we'll stop because we're afraid to fail. Let's go on and do greater things for God this year. Let's reach our neighbors. But if I ask and they say no, maybe we shouldn't even try. There ought to be a determination. We ought to be pressing toward the mark. Fear of rejection? If I would witness to someone, they might laugh at me. That's okay. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're not the fool. They are. Unexpected trials. Now, as you come into the new year, everyone's thinking the same thing, right? It's going to be a better year. The trials of 2010, they're behind us. Now we have 2011 before us. And everything's going to be okay. May not be. 2011 might be a whole lot harder than 2010. You're thinking, well, Pastor, now you're one of those discouraging other people. Realistically, there may be trials this year, folks. There may be problems with your health. There may be problems with your finances. There may be problems with family members. There may be struggles that we face as a church. Are they going to stop us from pressing on and reaching the goal? Paul said, I am determined. I am crossing the finish line. Some of the most interesting stories, life stories that you can hear, are those that have accomplished a task beyond all odds. I mentioned this morning the congresswoman down in Arizona who was shot this weekend. And one of the things that the family has looked to help them, because she is responding to doctors, even though she shouldn't be in some ways. But she's responding, and they're taking courage in the fact that there's a fellow over in Great Britain who was a soldier, also shot right through the head, and the bullet passed through, and he has made a full recovery. And he is able now to say, I am a living miracle. He's achieved when the odds would say he's never going to do it. You know, the reality is those are wonderful things to look at and say, that's exciting. You and I have that opportunity before us. We can finish the course that God lays before us. We need that determination that says, I'm going to press on. I trust that as a member of this church, you're going to be willing to stand with us this year and forge on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll be willing to accept whatever necessary changes need to be made so that we as a church will be willing and be able to ascend to greater heights. I hope you're not going to be one of those members that tries to thwart and destroy what God desires to do by words of discouragement or words of criticism or the such like. No, we ought to be excited for what God has in store for us. And we need a determination to reach those goals. One final thought that Paul gives us, and that's found in verse 15 and 16. He says, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any thing be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. There's a final thought, and that is the thought of discipline. It's a wonderful thing to consider that there are those who aren't satisfied, who are devoted, who stay the right path and exhibit a great determination. But you know, if we don't do those things lawfully, the Bible says we can be disqualified. And God won't receive the glory and the blessing. Paul would say to us, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. There's a need for us to follow the rules as we run in the race. The Bible tells us that all of us one day are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the word bema seat. In the Olympic Games, the bema seat is where the judge sat and he viewed the race. If an individual would go outside the lane of his race, he would be disqualified because he broke the rules. You and I need to realize that one day we're going to give an account for the way that we run this race. You and I need to realize that we must do so in the spirit of discipline and do it according to the Word of God. You know, it really doesn't matter what everyone thinks about the way you run a race. And it really doesn't matter what you think about the way that you run a race. Those things are insignificant. It matters what God thinks about the way you run the race. For He is the judge. Sometimes we can be satisfied. I've done so well. Look at all that I've accomplished. Look at all that I've done. See what I have accomplished and see what I've done for the Lord. Sometimes we take delight in that others are very pleased with me. Oh, he's such a wonderful Christian. She's such a wonderful sister in the Lord. Oh, they do so many great things. I must be pretty good. What's God think? Are we running well by the same rule? Folks, this is why I believe it's so important that we as a church never lose sight of the purposes of the church. That's why I believe that the end goal should always be, our chief purpose should always be, that in all that we do, we bring glory to God. By keeping the glory of God as our focus, we are assured that we'll not run unlawfully. Many have made it their goal to simply grow the church. And by so they've missed the mark because they're willing to do whatever must be done in order to achieve that goal. Sometimes they water down the message, or worse, they change and follow unbiblical methods, or worship is replaced in order that others might be drawn in. Your goal and my goal in life ought to be that we would bring glory to God. Even by our good works, it's that we might glorify our Father which is in heaven. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, let it all be done to the glory of God. You and I are reminded by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we have been bought with a price. We are not our own. We have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His. Our purpose ought to be that everything we do will glorify God. And as we keep Christ as the center of what we do, men will be drawn unto Him and men will be saved and He will be glorified by our fruit. But when we get the wrong purpose in mind, we may get off course and go the wrong direction. And we may not run lawfully. There's a need for discipline. We must walk by the same rule and be of the same mind. Beloved, God wants us to go on to greater heights for Him this year. I also believe that God would have us as a church go on for Him. He doesn't want you and I to stay where we have always been. He's not a God of the status quo. He is not simply pleased with what we have already obtained. He realizes there is much more. You and I ought to be willing to step out by faith this year and trust Him for the results, even if those results don't come in our own timing. He has goals for us to accomplish. He has places for us to go. He has a course for us to run. Let us press on. Let us be dissatisfied with our attainments. Let us be devoted to His cause. Let us be willing to follow the right direction and keep a godly determination and be disciplined to run in the right manner. When we do, I believe that God will be glorified. When we do what He wants us to do, the way He wants us to do it, I believe we're going to see ourselves as a church marching on. Marching on and believing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against our offensive. Satan is no match for the Christian who is following Jesus Christ. We need to be pressing on. And may all of us, in all that we do, seek to bring honor and glory to His wonderful name. God has called us, folks, to reach greater heights. God has called us to go on for Him. Let us follow the admonition here in Philippians 3. We have not yet obtained. We are not perfect. But one thing we need to do, we need to keep on the course. Forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. Let us press to the mark. Let us run by the same rule and be of the same mind. Let us run lawfully for the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,